Hello and welcome to Radio Education. This is a podcast from the Alamosa School District, and I am your host, Adriana Chapa. I am a mother, a teacher, and your neighbor. Thank you for allowing me into your home once again this week. With us today is Assistant Superintendent Dr. Luis Murillo. Hello, Luis. How are you?
Doing great.
Good.
A few more days before Thanksgiving break.
Yes.
We have phenomenal guests today.
We do.
Yeah, one of our staff members, teammates, and two students. But before we get into that, Adria, do you have an update on the school bond?
Yes.
Because last time we recorded this English episode,
we were voting.
Yeah, we voted. People have voted. So the update is that our bond did not pass. That's the news. But in the process, we learned quite a bit as we engaged with people as to what they wanted from the district,
right,
what they thought of the district, what they thought of the project, what they thought of the amount. So we took away lots of learning that we will utilize to continue to communicate with the community as to what it is that we have going on. And this is, one of the outlets we utilize to do that.
And so I suppose now we're going to have to figure out how to save money?
Well,
for these big projects?
We still have the same needs in our facilities.
Right.
And they'll just be getting older and older, and the kids at OMS will still not have, the restrooms that we wanted them to.
I'm going to peek in and go, okay, girls, yeah. We have a full house. Let's go.
So I don't know what's going to happen, Adri, but what I do know is most immediately is that we will continue to learn and listen from our community. And then we have to stay on the path of improvement, and we must keep responding to the needs of our students.
Right.
And yes, I mean, at some point we need to address all of those issues via, whatever method necessary, because now that we know our needs, we can't just sit back and let things get worse.
Right. And we have a priority list.
We do.
Okay. All right. So we'll just stay tuned. All right. So let's move on to our first section, happenings at our campuses. So what can you share with us today about what's happening around our campuses?
As always, there's tons of things happening on our campuses. When I took this job, I felt like I could be somewhere every night with so many things happening, from high school to K-2 musicals, to plays, to sports, and then community events. We have with us a special guest who is a part of all the many activities that our high school students get to participate in.
Yes.
So he's been an educator for 29 years.
Okay.
He's been a teacher. He's been a principal. And his most recent job was that of superintendent. And we were lucky to attract him to the Alamosa School District. So I have the pleasure of introducing Mr. Rick Lovato. Welcome.
Thank you.
Welcome to Education Radio. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I grew up in the La Junta area. I was a Swink High School graduate. I've been maroon and white for quite a while. I was in that area in the lower Arkansas Valley, the other valley.
Okay.
All of my career, was a math teacher, a coach, coached football, basketball, and baseball. And then I got into administration, and the last 19 years I've been serving as a superintendent.
Wow. And now you're our athletic director.
Yes.
So you come with just a wealth of experience.
I have a lot of experience, both small school and a little bit bigger school. La Junta and Alamosa are about the same size.
Okay.
I've seen a lot. Quite honestly, what brought me here was I was ready to do something different, and unfortunately, I really didn't want to be the boss anymore.
Okay.
I took a lot of pleasure last week in asking Dr. Jones if we could have a snow day. Waited 22 years to ask someone
there
else that question.
There you go. Was not on your shoulders.
No. So it's been a good change for me. I've always gravitated towards the athletics and the activities. I was in band, and it wasn't just sports for me.
Uh-huh.
So I just understand that the value of extracurriculars is so powerful for kids.
Absolutely. We're going to talk some more about that.
All right, Rick. So before we came on air, I was asking you about, your travel, and you have to be everywhere at the same time. So would you give our listeners a glimpse into the life of an athletic director with, 17 sports and activities?
Seven total, seven in the fall alone.
Yeah.
And so We did have a stretch. When you get to the playoffs and you really try to hit everything, I was lucky enough, the principals in our building helped cover a lot of things when, you know, obviously you can't be in two places at once or three places at once. But I had a weekend where on Thursday I was at regional cross country. Friday morning I was at state softball. Friday evening I left Denver and I went to Salida for football that night and then hopped in a car to go and watch my own kids play in Colorado Springs on Saturday. So close to 1,000 miles in that weekend. But really that's what I signed up for and I enjoy it. I've always enjoyed sports and I've gravitated towards, you know, just being competitive and giving kids an opportunity to learn a lot of life lessons through something that's really, it's a game. So I think it's valuable.
You know, Rick, I was also a coach and you talked about, you know, life lessons and I only coached the offensive line, defensive line, because that's what I really enjoy and where I thought I could be of most service. And I really loved having the chance to teach kids about life. And tell you what, we won't remember special scores, the scores, or even the records, but the kids that I coach will remember, you know, the locker rooms, the trips to stadiums, the one time we made it to the playoffs. So, yeah, extracurriculars are very, very important. So that leads me into my next question. What is your vision around extracurricular activities?
I think every kid should have the opportunity to try different things and find out where their skills and interests might be. you know, a lot of people think that you're either an athlete or a musician or an artist, and a lot of us are interested in everything. Mm-hmm. And so at the high school and junior high levels, to be exposed to those activities, I think is super important, because then a kid can kind of figure out, what am I good at? What do I like? Where do I get enjoyment? And also, what disappoints me when I lose? I think one of the things that is really difficult, and it's changed, you know, as a parent, none of us want to see our kids ever fail. But I think there's so much to be learned from losing that I don't call it failure, because it's just a new opportunity, but for kids to learn how to get through adversity, how to get through disappointment, how to get through tough times. When it's a game, it's so much easier than later on in life when you have problems with your job and your family's relying on you. You know, you're not quite as apt to give up or give in. And I think that's a huge piece. Also dealing with success. We've had some very successful teams here, a lot of tradition and pride. And dealing with that with humility and understanding that it doesn't happen all the time, I think is also pretty valuable. So really, you know, you can kind of equate just about everything in your life and relate to an experience of joy, disappointment, struggle, delayed gratification. All of that falls into extracurriculars. So I just think it's very valuable.
Rick, you've sent several groups and individuals on to compete at the state level. That's always exciting for everybody involved. But how has everyone done at the state level?
So in our fall sports, golf was the first one finished, and we sent two golfers to the state tournament. Mm-hmm. And they did quite well for themselves. And then cross country, we sent the entire boys team, and I believe they placed fifth overall. And then our girls had two runners, and Jen McQuitty finished second overall, just missed a state
awesome.
Title.
Okay.
But they did very well. Our soccer team did not qualify for the playoffs, but managed a tie with the eventual state runner-up in Salida. Nice. And we were in every game we played. You know, there weren't any blowouts. You know, we didn't get mercy ruled or anything like that. And so that was very competitive. Our football team qualified for the playoffs, lost a heartbreaker to Lamar 14-7 a week and a half ago. Volleyball team just finished state tournament last week, and we were ranked number 4 in the state and finished on Saturday, which that's when you want to be playing on the last day of the season. We fell a little short of what we wanted to do, but the girls really did well. Trying to think of any sports in my brain. Let me see. Oh, softball. Softball also qualified for the state tournament again, and that program's come a long way. I remember when I was in La Junta when they first started, and it was a struggle. And, you know, very reputable, solid program. And so coming here, I knew the traditions were strong and the expectations were high. But the kids have really performed in, at a level that exemplifies that competitive spirit and those expectations. And I think it carries over into the classroom. I think it carries over into everything that they're doing. Our drama department just finished play this past weekend.
Yes, they did Little Mermaid.
And we also had a choir concert a little while ago and unveiled our new seats in the auditorium, which was really nice. And, you know, and there are a lot of different activities that people don't necessarily recognize, but that identify with. Our Army Star program does the colors for the football games. We've had some students sing the national anthem at our ball games. Key Club meets regularly, FBLA, district competitions, FFA went to the national convention.
Awesome.
And so it's, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's not just about sports, although that might get all the ink in the papers.
Sure.
But when we had a pep rally last week, gymnastics went to state 2 weeks ago and braved a snowstorm to get there and be able to compete. And I think we had six girls compete at state level.
Excellent.
But at that pep rally, I had every kid that I could think of stand up that was involved in activity, and it worked really well. And there's we have a lot of kids participating.
Absolutely.
Don't forget about the drumline.
Drumline and band.
Oh, that was exciting,
A lot of people don't remember it, but the band learned the school fight song, which happens to mimic the Fighting Irish, which I am partial to the Fighting Irish. So I love the fight song.
All right, Rick. So you talked about being a superintendent and 29 years. You could have retired. You could have bought a year or retired, yet you chose to be part of our Moose family. Tell us more. Why did you choose to be a Mean Moose?
So years ago, I did my master's degree here at Adams to get my admin, and I liked the area then. I really wasn't sure I'd have the guts to ever move and leave, you know, where my family was domesticated. And then I was actually pretty good friends with Coach Melgoza. And when he passed, I remember the day, I remember the time, and his son-in-law actually student taught for me, and my dad was his supervising teacher. And so we knew the family, and I thought of applying then, and it just didn't, the timing wasn't right. And then when it reopened the following summer, I thought, well, maybe, you know, maybe that's a calling. I didn't apply anywhere else. Had I not gotten the job, I probably would have retired or taken a job mowing grass or something. But I really kind of felt compelled. This is what I really enjoy. Being a part of kids' lives and being closer to the students again. The superintendency had its benefits, and I liked it, but I was very distant from the kids. And so the perfect opportunity came. I bought a home. I live here now. This isn't
you are committed. Partial,
and I have a great view of Mount Blanca, and I really enjoy it. And so we'll see how much I love it in about 2 months when the winter is really cold. But right now it's really good.
So you don't have to sell Dr. Murillo and I on extracurriculars because we've been involved in it for years. But what advice do you have for parents about whether extracurricular activities are important for their children?
I think for every parent, it's really difficult to see our kids not necessarily following what we want them to do. We all live a little vicariously through our kids. I've got four kids of my own. And giving them the opportunity to just expose themselves to different things is a super opportunity to do it in a controlled environment where they get some support from the school district. And I would encourage them all, number one, encourage your kids to try. If you don't like it, so what? But also, you know, understand the role of once a kid gets interested, and this is kind of a soapbox for me, but do your job and just love your kid.
Right.
You know? I have high expectations of my kids, and there are times I got to put myself in check and say, hey, okay, be dad, don't be coach. And, you know, it goes so fast for both the student and the parent. Enjoy the time you have to watch your kid do things. Even the stuff they don't like, maybe. But just enjoy it, because it goes so fast, and pretty soon you're old like me, living vicariously through our students and our own athletes and such here. And so just encourage and be there and just love them.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's so important for parents to be present at the games, performances, what concerts, whatever their child is involved in. But, you know, when the parents aren't, it hurts that child.
Sure.
And so parents, do all you can just to be there, even if it's a practice because you can't be at the game. Be there. Be present for him.
All right, Rick. What brings you joy about your job?
The thrill of kids competing and helping mentor coaches to go through the highs, the lows, you know, some of the valleys that they may encounter, and also helping understand the, you know, taking in the successes and really enjoying everything from the smell of the popcorn to, mm-hmm. you know, the stink of the locker room.
Yep.
And isn't it true that for each child, that victory looks different?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I would see it with the students I would work with throughout the years I did extracurricular, is nobody knows except the coach, director, and that student where that victory lies. For each one, and it may not be noticeable to the audience, but I always knew when they had conquered, you know, whatever it was.
Right.
All right, so what advice would you give athletes about bringing balance to their high school years?
I think there's a direct relationship between performing in the classroom and performing athletically.
Okay.
I think kids that hold themselves to a high standard tend to hold themselves to a high standard everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And so to bring balance, I think that what I would really tell the kids is be prepared for whatever comes your way, whether it's, you know, you work hard in practice so that in the game you're not deer in the headlights.
Right.
And you study for a test,
mm-hmm.
so you're not deer in the headlights.
Right.
And as you get older, you know, you prepare for work so you can perform your job and provide for your family and do the, you know, do the things you need to.
Mm-hmm.
Most of all would just be enjoy the preparation. Don't treat it as work, but you know it's an opportunity to improve,
right.
to get better. And delayed gratification is tough to teach in this era. You know, we mm-hmm. call it the microwave generation where everything is within a minute. And so for a student to recognize that it may take years to become noticeably better in a lot of people's eyes, but it's worth the journey, it's worth the effort, it's worth the energy.
Absolutely.
And so that's kind of what I would tell my own kids.
All right.
All right, Rick. You're not a superintendent anymore, so you don't have to worry about snow. Or I guess calling snow days. You do have to worry about snow because we got kids traveling, but what keeps you up at night?
You know, it is a major change to not be responsible for everything. And that's how you feel as superintendent, as you well know. But, you know, I don't want to let anybody down. And first and foremost, I have four kids of my own. My middle daughter is here with me. And my oldest daughter is a teacher. My two youngest are in high school still, and they live with their mom in La Hansa still. And I worked really hard to juggle my schedule so that I can hit everything I can for them. But you know, number one, I don't want to let them down, but I also don't want to let the community down. I don't want to let our students down by not having referees on a game day,
sure.
not having all my workers set. And it's easier for me on the days where I'm here, but like if we have multiple events and I have to travel and I'm organizing an event at home for somebody else to cover, I just want to make sure I don't leave anything undone so that they,
sure.
it happens.
Yeah, it's a lot of responsibility.
We hosted regional volleyball 2 weeks ago. And I had everything I thought covered. And then the NFHS cameras were delayed.
Oh,
and we
yeah.
had to reset them. And so you roll with the punches and you deal with that adversity. But you do everything you can. And for what keeps me up at night is I just want to make sure I've got all my bases covered so I don't leave anybody else to hold my mistake.
Rick, thank you so much for being our guest today. It was a pleasure to meet you and to hear about your vast experience. And we are lucky to have you.
Thank you very much.
We appreciate the information you have brought to us today, and we look forward to having you as a guest again later.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Let's move on to our favorite section, celebrate.
My favorite session, and today
yes.
is very special. I always enjoy when we have students on our podcast.
Absolutely.
And today we have two of our best eighth grade students at Ortega Middle School. It is my pleasure to welcome Isabella Mortensen, who is the OMS Student Council President, and Sarah Motes, who is the OMS Student Council Executive Board Member. Welcome.
Welcome to Education Radio, Isabella and Sarah. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves so our neighbors get to know you a little bit better.
I'm Isabella Mortensen. I'm a student at Ortega Middle School, and I'm in eighth grade. I like to play sports like basketball, volleyball, and I also like to run. I'm the student body president for student council, and I have two little brothers, and I love to go outside and explore the outdoors.
Thank you.
My name's Sarah Motes. I'm in eighth grade, and I'm a secretary for the STUCO position. I love sports, and I like doing outside activities. I was born in Alamosa, and I have four siblings.
Excellent.
So you girls are very involved in sports and clubs, extracurriculars, but you are here to talk to us about Student Council President and Student Council Executive Board Member. So would you please tell us your role within that, and then also just share a little more about, you know, the team aspects, because we were talking about sports and the importance of sports.
So I'm the student body president, like I said, and I run the meetings. So we have a meeting every Thursday morning, and we talk about different topics, and I get to run that and, like, control the votes and stuff. And then I do a lot of student council work, so I have my second hour at school is for student council. So I get to do a lot of work with that, and I plan a bunch of different things outside of the meetings.
Okay, so I have a question for you. So you run the meeting, but do you get together with your sponsor about the agenda? How does that work?
Yeah, so I have my student council hour, and I'm with the sponsor, Mr. Duran, and we work on, like, the agenda every Wednesday before the meeting.
Okay. Nice. All right. And does he listen to everything you say?
Most of the time.
Most of the time. All right.
So I'm the secretary, so I, like, take notes of what we are going to be doing. And then I also take attendance to see if they're here or not. And I just, like, just help out with any STUCO event that they need, or, like anytime they need me, I'll try to go and help them.
Okay. All right.
I know I've heard quite a bit about student council and your guys' dances, Spirit Week, all of that. So good
yes,
work.
Very active, yes. Isabella, as president of the student body, tell us about the plans you have for OMS.
So we're really trying to get more students involved at school. So we've been doing activities like Moose Pride competitions. So coming up this winter, we're doing a door decorating competition. So we're asking each Moose Pride and all the students in it to decorate their teacher's door. And then we also do dances and Spirit Weeks to get more people involved. And then we do community service, and we're just trying to make the school more involved and overall better.
The students more involved. Yeah, super important. Good. Sarah, can you tell us about the way the student council is structured?
So this year we have 70 members. So
wow.
We split them into three councils, and, like, for doing big events, and, like, there's three councils, the 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade. And they all we vote to have president, vice president, secretary, and treasurer, plus exec team. So we split into that, and then we can, like, have different tables that we do. So, like, decorating, music. And then, like, we just talk about it and, like, decide as a member.
Okay, the whole members.
Yeah.
All of the members.
Yeah, we all vote and, like, see which ones are good and bad. Like,
and you guys are, like, super, like, involved in that. Like, when I've seen you decorate the hallways, and it's everybody's got their job and, you know, there's stuff hanging from the ceiling, stuff on all the teachers' doors. There's so much to do.
Yep.
One of the cool things about, you know, being president of something like student council is you get to leave your mark. So for that year, you were president, and student council, you know, sort of takes shape after, you know, what you want to do based on the feedback. So if there's anything that you haven't said based on, like, what are the plans for the student council? Like, what's coming up and what is going to be your mark?
So coming up in a couple weeks, we're going to go to the nursing homes in Carroll as a council so we can spread Christmas cheer to the our elders. And we're also planning, like, a spirit week, obviously, to get more people involved. And then we're also, like, working with the cafeteria, and they're, like, trying to improve the menu for us.
That's
great.
Yeah, stuff like that.
I love that.
Yes, and then we also have, like, dances, as you said. And then, like, when there's big sporting events, we do concessions for them if they need help to, like, raise some money for us.
Great.
Excellent. So how do you balance community service versus fun events for the students?
We, like, plan things for the students as, like, a whole council. And community service, we work a lot, like, I work a lot with the sponsor, and we plan community service and, like, agree on it as a council after we, like, plan it. And we just try and do, like, two community services a month or a year.
Okay.
At least. And we try and, like, do fundraisers and stuff like that.
So you've been involved in so many things throughout your school years, both of you. So tell us, who's had a lot of influence over this path that you have had to be so active?
My mom and my dad, they just always tell me to be involved, and they help me through life, and they've taught me so many lessons, and, like, to never give up and always do trying your best.
I would say my mom and dad, and, like, my siblings also, because, like, I'm the youngest, so, like, they've been through it, so, like, they've told me, like, what to look for and, like, not to do. So, like, I try to take their advice to see, like, to do good things.
Okay.
All right. The million-dollar question. If you had a magic wand and could magically change one thing at OMS immediately, what would it be?
Like, that all the students could get along and that there would be, like, no more fights and that there would be, like, no more drama. So then everyone can just feel like they're a part of the school.
Yes. I think when I, like, if I had a magic wand, I would probably make each other, like, included, so, like, kids aren't feeling left out, because some kids, like, sit at the lunch table by themselves, so, like, maybe go ask to have a, like, come sit by me or something like that, so, like, no one's left out or anything.
Okay, that everyone could be more inclusive of all the students.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So you guys are 14, right?
Yes.
If you can go back and give your 10-year-old self some advice, or 9, or 8, or 7, what would it be?
I would say to probably always dream big, and then, like, if something knocks you down, don't be afraid to get back up and, like, try harder and always do the things you want to do.
I would say not to be scared to ask for help, because, like, you always need some help, like, yeah.
And then
and also to pay attention at school, because there's some life lessons you can learn at school.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So what advice do you have for other middle schoolers or for sixth graders? What would you tell them to help them in their journey?
Well, I would say just surround yourself with the right kind of people, like good friends who are going to help you through it and, like, help you make good decisions. And I would also say, like, pay attention in class and making sure that you're turning in your work, because having zeros and, like, not understanding is really hard. And then also don't be embarrassed to ask for help, because teachers are really nice and they will help you. So never be embarrassed to ask.
Okay. I think to give advice to the other middle schools is just be yourself and, like, don't be someone you aren't, because people like who you are and not someone else. So I just, like, be yourself and people would like you much better.
Excellent. Thank you for that advice. Isabel and Sarah, thank you for taking the time to be our guests on Education Radio. You both have some years left in the Alamosa School District, and we know that you will continue being outstanding leaders. And we wish both of you the best.
Thank you.
Moving on to our last segment, upcoming events. What's going on this week?
Well, second quarter, first semester is coming to an end.
Three weeks and 2 days.
I know, it doesn't feel like it because we're still getting to Thanksgiving break, but it'll be here before we know it. So, reminder for parents, we have a little over 3 weeks. Talk to your kids about grades. Talk to your kids about assignments. It's not too late. Have them talk to their teachers because that grade goes into transcripts for secondary.
Yep.
And then for primary schools, there's another chance for parents to be informed as to how their kids are doing. So very important putting that on your radar.
And I know that at OMS we'll have another Friday school session, I think the 15th of December, but stay tuned to our website if your child could use some help. Friday school is available. You know, Thanksgiving's around the corner, and it's always an enjoyable holiday, normally filled with good food and good company. And I hope that we can all take some time to reflect on what we have to be grateful for. Thank you for being with us today. Education Radio is a podcast by the Alamosa School District. Podcasts are available in both English and Spanish and are a click away on our website. Parents, remember that educating your child is key to their future and a life of options. Until next time.
Alamosa School District. Students today, leaders tomorrow.